Part 1. Life is for Learning. Samantha never thought she would die like this. Sure, there was the time that Paul Harrelman had yanked her from the top of the jungle gym by her ponytail. It was an old playground, all hot blacktop and reinforced steel, instead of padded rubber and beveled plastic. The crack of her skull on the asphalt was the sound of certain doom. She was done for, even though she could feel her eyes burning with tears. The school nurse sent Samantha home with an ice pack and a lollipop. It was lime-flavored, but she survived anyway. Daddy named the knot on her head Natty Bumpo and said that Mr. Bumpo would help her build character. Samantha had no idea what he meant by that. Natty Bumpo hurt like hell. Her second date with Brandon Schultz had her gripping the armrest of his 1955 Ford T-Bird for dear life. It was a father-son project, a birthday present for Brandon's sweet 16, as long as he handed his father the correct tools while pretending to show interest in the restorative process of decades-old automobiles. Classics, his father called them. Brandon never took care of it. The colonial white spray job was more of an ashy soot, and he had dented the rear quarter panel within a week of his birthday. Samantha could smell the exhaust seeping into the cab, even though the convertible top was down. Brandon thought it would be hilarious to speed down State Route 40 with the headlights off. That was why they hadn't spotted the yearling until it became intimately familiar with the radiator grill. Natty Bumpo came back for a surprise visit that night and stayed for a week like the guest that never leaves. There was no third date with Brandon Schultz. Then, of course, there was the accident. The real accident. That had happened years before Brandon Schultz and not long before Paul Harrelman. Samantha pushed that memory away, shoved it back into the box where it belonged. Time slows to a crawl when your capillaries are iced with adrenaline. It was taking forever to die. The starlight wasn't bright enough to see how far she was from the grassy field below, but it didn't matter. Samantha knew that black mass was rushing up to meet her, to smash her head into fragments and snap her spine like a pretzel stick. Pretzel stick? Am I really hungry right now? She wondered what it would feel like, if there would be any pain, and whether her end would come from an exploding brain or a severed spinal column. She recalled an episode of Star Trek: The Next Generation, where these robot guys in black outfits had invaded the Enterprise. The robots went around the room, sharing with the crew the most efficient way to end their lives based on their species.
Biological organism, human. Sever spinal cord below third vertebrae. Death is immediate, said the robot.
Samantha had never been into those shows, but Evan had made her watch every single episode on DVD. The android was kind of cool. The rushing wind coalesced into a chorus of taunts that pounded her ears. She was reminded of an 80s cassette tape commercial that Cole had shown her on YouTube.
Maxell delivers higher fidelity, says the narrator, while Wagner's Flight of the Valkyries blasts from a stereo so loud that a man with blown back hair has to catch his wine glass before it slides from an end table beside his chair.
The music conjured the memory of another video that her brother had treated her to with great delight.
Kill the wabbit! Kill the wabbit!
What were you thinking, Sammy? The windy voices shouted, interrupting her manic train of thought. Did you really think you could fly? Do you think you belong up here among us, among the gods? What hubris! That pissed her off. Only her dad and her brother called her Sammy. Only they were allowed. Now she would never see them again.
Did you really think you could fly? The roaring wind chided again.
Yes, actually I did.